Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
And then he's like, guys, they can't find the ring. And so I was like, whose ring? Amir's ring or Hanan's ring? And and he's like, no, like Hanan's ring. I'm like the wedding band or like the engagement ring? Mm-hmm. He was like... We know. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It was kind of my fault.
Yeah, we're blaming that guy this time.
Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection podcast. We're back. Honestly, I feel like we've been gone for a month.
It has been a month.
A full month?
Actually, has it been a full month?
Maybe. Well, the last time we were on here, we were talking about... Oh, man, I erased it.
Yeah, we did erase it. Like, it was a bunch of, like, random news going on with, like, Google and, like... That's honestly the only one I remember from there.
And the 5K, like that's all we talked about.
Yeah, we talked about getting ready for the 5K.
Yeah.
And since then, Sarah and someone else has completed. Okay, let's start from the beginning, okay?
Yeah.
Actually, low-key, technically, like we should have given y'all a warning, but the week we were meant to give y'all a warning or like at least let you know that we wouldn't be doing a podcast for the next couple weeks or so, unfortunately, one of my family members had passed away, Hanan's uncle, who's actually here. And we were like kind of taking care of him. I think I probably mentioned this in previous podcasts where we were taking care of him here locally. And unfortunately, he passed away. So I guess for all listeners out there, if you can, please make dua and may Allah, you know, grant him Jannah and send all his duas, all his blessings you make to him. But that definitely... We couldn't do a podcast that week. It was just there's you know, out of respect and also just a lot going on. And then the following week was the 5K.
Yeah, and you know what though?
What?
The last time we recorded, vividly remember I was like, should we announce that we're taking a break?
And
we
were
like, no, we're gonna record next week. I'm like, yeah, are you sure?
I was so confident.
Are you sure? He's like, Yeah, don't worry. We'll do it then, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. But, you know, life happens and that's okay.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, the 5K happened. It was also Eid.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it Eid?
It was Eid the day before. Because remember, we were worried that it was going to be the day of...
Of the run, yeah.
Yeah. And so Eid was the day before. Honestly, it's just been a whirlwind. And then the following week was literally Amir and Hanan's royal wedding.
Yeah. So first off, Eid Mubarak to
y'all. Belated Eid Mubarak.
Belated Eid Mubarak to y'all. Hopefully... y'all had a good Eid, and it was actually, for us, it was kind of weird. It was like a very, like, it kind of, I guess because there was so much going on and, like, us getting ready for the wedding that was the next week. And the fact that my wife, Hanan, actually flew out the morning of Eid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Yes,
we didn't even see her.
Exactly. So, and, like, I was sort of still working that day. It was a weird day for sure, and like, but we still at least are like, we had a small kind of like family outing where we went to dinner at this place that I forget the name of.
Yeah, me
right
too.
Now.
I'm trying to remember it too.
I'm trying to remember the name.
We went there the next day.
Exactly. That's why I'm trying. Like, how would we forget a name? We literally. So this is unplanned, but like we went there for Eid.
Yeah.
And literally, I found myself the next day. They're eating. Let me pull it up on my phone 1 second. I have to say it now. Yeah, exactly.
It was
a really nice spot. Yeah, it was a nice spot. So I gotta shout it out, right?
It's newer. Oh, Mabel.
Mabel, exactly.
Shout out to that memory, mashallah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're the memory girl here,
that's
okay?
True, that's, you know, true.
Can't rely on mine, okay? But yeah, so that was a thing. And oh shoot, we forgot to even mention.
What?
You know, we'll get to that after. But yeah, that was going on, but as we mentioned, and as we were leading up to in the previous podcast, Sarah finally got to do her 5K.
Cute. Oh, wait. Will it play in
maybe?
Here?
Oh. Nope. That's the wrong one. What was it? Nope. Yeah, there you go. I don't even know how loud that's going to be on the thing. Let me see. There you go. That's a little bit louder.
There
Hopefully
we
it
go.
Comes through on the recording device. Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention that part. I kind of messed up. Since it's been a while since we recorded, I did not bring any of our SD cards. Like, we have all the equipment here, just none of the SD cards.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was able to kind of MacGyver a situation and, like, alhamdulillah, I had my laptop with me. So we're recording to both of those things. So if there is some issue with the video or audio this week, it's my bad, okay?
But I will say shout out to Amir, because me, I would have been like, all right, next week it is.
Yeah, exactly. And immediately my mind, because whenever something bad happens, not bad, but like whenever there's a hiccup, my mind immediately goes to like, how do we fix this without having to like go out and like purchase extra resources or whatever.
I think I suggested it like four times. Yeah. I'm like, let's just go to Walmart and buy like, an
no,
SD card.
He's I'll make like, it work.
No. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he took off the hoodie and went to work.
Yeah. And speaking of hoodies,
do you like our new gear?
shout out to Everything Brand.
Everything Brand.
Yeah. Yeah, Everything Brand. They sent us some clothing items. I know it's a little hot in this room, so this shirt might be coming off or opening up in a bit. But here's a little look or a little look see of what we're wearing at the moment for all our visual
watchers. Can you see my leg?
Watchers. Can you see it? It says Everything in nice big print.
Yeah.
Quality is up there. It's like really, really good quality items. I think, I don't know if we went out of focus there when I'm leaning forward.
Oh, but my bad.
It's okay. But yeah, quality is really nice. You can see our two different like colorways over here. I'm wearing just the black or it's, yeah, I guess it's black, right?
Yeah.
I don't know why my eyes kind of look a little bit navy, but yeah, I would say this is black while Sara has the like light or darker gray kind of colorway.
Yeah.
Either way, they're both very comfortable.
Yeah.
They're very warm for sure. And yeah, just shout out to Everything Brand. And if you like what you see here as well,
we have a discount code for you guys. Shout out to Rakeb, who's been amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, since we've met her and the entire Everything Brand team, inshallah, one day we can actually like get them on the pod. Mm-hmm. But like ever since we've met them at our live show, actually, we've just kind of like kept in touch, and they've been so wonderful. And even like getting this stuff to us, like it's just been a really easy process. But our discount code, only if you are part of the Cousin Connection family, it is Everything CCP. You get 20% off on your order. So I'll put that in our description or the whatever it's called.
Yeah, I'll probably put it on the screen here as well.
Yeah, and so get to shopping. They have more than just hoodies. Their gear is actually really cool.
Yeah, support people within our community. Yeah. They're also Habesha.
Yeah.
Support Habesha brands out there for all our Habeshas as well. I kind of sidetracked there, a good sidetrack. Mm. But we were getting to the 5K.
Yes.
So, you know, it's Saturday now. This is the day after Eid. Everybody's, you know, in good spirits. Mm-hmm. Everybody's ready to do a run. And it's like, Hanan and I have left our apartment. We're like heading towards the event space.
Not Hanan, Nabat.
Huh?
Hanan wasn't there. Wait, event space? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the 5K.
Yeah, Hanan wasn't there. Nabat was with you.
Oh, shoot. Yeah, I forgot she already left. Sorry. Okay. Nabat was with me. My brain just went, I just created a whole other like multiverse in my mind right now. Okay. So Nabat was with me, and I get like a text on the way there. And so I was like, Sebi dropped out. What do you think about doing a run?
Well, let me give you context.
Okay.
So I decided to go a little bit early. I was meeting my friend Steve, and I was meeting Marwa there. So I was like, I started driving, and right before I got on the highway, I'm like, oh crap, I forgot my wallet. Mm-hmm. And so normally I would have just been like, whatever, I'll take the chance.
Yeah.
I have a picture of my license. It's fine. Mm-hmm. But then I'm like, wait, the little prep thing said to bring ID for when you sign in.
Yeah.
So I went back, picked up my ID, then drove back. And so once I actually signed in, they didn't ask me for shit. Okay. I could have been Joe Schmo. And they were like, Sara, good enough.
Yeah.
So.
But I feel like at that point, they're like, you know, we already got your money.
True.
For whatever charity we're pulling this towards. So.
Yeah.
Doesn't really matter, right? And who's gonna literally run a who's gonna run a 5K for another person?
You.
Yeah.
Literally you.
I forgot that that's what we were leading to.
Yeah. So
Sada messaged me and she's like, hey, Sari dropped out and they're not checking for ID. So what do you think about running a 5K? Mind you, I didn't like get ready to run a 5K. I was getting ready to cheer on Sada. Like, I actually brought up the signs. You know,
we mentioned that last time. It was so cute.
We brought out the signs. I had the markers and everything set up so we can draw on them as we're waiting for you guys. But yeah, I looked at my feet. I'm like wearing some of my Vessies.
I'm pretty sure I asked you, like, what are you wearing?
Yeah.
Like, are you even dressed appropriately? And he was like, I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Like, Amir, I want you guys to know. He is the most down person I've ever known in my entire, like, truly the most down.
I could have been wearing Converse and I would still run it.
That's crazy. You would have regretted that one.
I probably would have, yeah. My feet would have probably been in more pain. But honestly, that's one thing to, I guess, give Vessie, you know, even though they haven't sponsored us yet.
Vessie, we're coming for you.
Yeah, but like, just, you know, that's a thing, a benefit of them, or one plus that you can add to that is that I ran a 5K in them, and I felt perfectly fine the next day.
Yeah. And so, like, Amir was just like, yeah, you know, I'm on my way. And I was like, okay. Yeah. I'm pretty sure Marwa was like, wait, what? He's going to do it? I'm like, yeah. And she's like, has he been training? And I'm like, he'll be fine.
Yeah, like, I walk every day. That's close enough.
Like, yeah, like, he'll be fine. She was like, okay, kind of concerned. Yeah. But, like, it's fine.
And actually, the funny thing is that, like, not funny thing, but another thing to mention is that I pulled up and I was actually surprised to see Marwa there. Like, if you guys don't know Marwa, we had her on the podcast. No, I didn't know that she was going to be there.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like, we had Marwa on the podcast. She's Sada's, I guess, nutritionist and personal trainer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we've had her on podcast. She's flown in from Calgary. So, she's coming all the way from Calgary, which is why I was surprised, right? And yeah, she was doing the 5K with us. So I was like, you know, I tightened my Vessies, which have no laces. I got in line with y'all and that's we started a 5K.
Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, they're literally slip-on, like almost boot
cut sock
shoes.
Boots.
Yeah, they're like sock boot shoes.
Oh my God, Amir.
But it was fine. It was a hot day, though. That was literally our first like really hot day in Toronto.
I will admit, like, I wasn't expecting it to be hot. So even what I wore didn't make sense. Like, I was dying.
Sada wore all black, guys. I know. All black.
I wasn't thinking it through.
You were asking for it.
Like, I really felt it. You know, that one part, it was just like straight uphill.
I was not expecting that.
Me neither. Me neither. I like Googled like how hard is the trail.
Yeah.
And no one mentioned this giant like length of uphill running that I was like, I can't run that entire way. I'm going to walk.
And I felt dumb too because like, first off, when we started the run, I was like following up with you guys. And I was like, you know what? Let's just go at our own pace I was going to go at your pace for the run. And we got to like the 2.5 kilometer run mark. And I was like, oh, I'll try and run ahead.
Yeah.
So I can like cheer you on when I'm there as well. Right.
Yeah.
So because I was like, let me see how well I can do with this. Tell me why immediately after I leave them and I start, like, I'm sprinting now. Because I was like, oh, I can do this easy. Because I felt like really fresh at that moment.
Yeah.
I was sprinting. First thing I see around the corner is a big ass hill.
Yeah, and there's no like warning. You just see it hits you.
And it's in the middle of the woods. It's in your mind when you're doing a 5K, even the smallest hill can feel like you're going complete vertical.
Yes, especially because like, the only regret that I had is I wish I used the bathroom before one. And I wish I was drinking electrolytes more before the run instead of holding the water bottle. Like, I feel like that threw me off a little bit. I didn't like holding it.
Yeah. I wish I had a water bottle.
Really? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But honestly, I feel like you mentioned, it would have just weighed me down. Like, having to hold something like that.
Yeah. Like, it was just annoying to hold. And I wish I just, like, wore a better outfit.
Yeah.
But I was just like, whatever. This is my first one. Let me just, like, survive it. But it was so, like, I think the heat is what got me. Because when I have been training, it's been cool.
Yeah, that's the trick. Because, like, when I say it was literally, like, the first hot day, like, before this, it was maybe in the, like, 15 or lower sometimes, right? Like, you're every morning you're waking up to, like, this the grass still being a little hard.
Yeah.
But today was, like, full on, you know, or not that day, was, like, when you hear like the crickets coming out kind of heat.
The sun, yes.
Yeah, the cicadas. That's what it is. Yeah, it was that kind of heat.
Yeah, and like I don't know. I guess I just assumed that they were going to like close the roads.
Oh, no.
I guess because of 5K is so like insignificant.
Yeah.
That's why. Okay. But we were just running like literally in a neighborhood.
Yeah. To the point where.
We get to stop for the at second a red
half,
light.
No, but for the second half, there were no guides.
Yeah. We guessed.
Yeah.
We, had no, exactly. We were like. Like, at one point, I'm looking at Maru. I'm like, where the hell do we go? She's like, I don't know. So then we saw, like, a random person. Mm-hmm. And we're like, do you know which... They're like, they went that way. And we're like,
that happened to us, too. There's a dude with, a baby in a stroller. Mm-hmm. And he was just chilling on the corner. He's like, this way. I was like, oh, thanks, bro.
We had no idea. Mm-hmm. In the forest, they were there.
Yeah.
But after that, there was no one.
Exactly. I was surprised by that, too. And one thing, because there were no guides... There was a point where I thought we were getting to the end because I saw Eglinton, which is where the race started on Eglinton, right? So I saw Eglinton. I was like, oh, this is where we started. So like it must be right around the corner. Tell me why. I don't know why this is my mind. I sprinted the hardest I've ever sprinted in my life. I was like, let me, you know, every guy does this. You know, you make it a race in your mind, right? Uh-huh. I was like, oh, I see those people. I can pass all those people.
Oh, my God.
So I started sprinting the hardest I've sprinted in like years. I finally get to Eglinton. I'm like,
this isn't where you were.
This isn't it. And I look at my watch because we're tracking the run. I was like, why is there a kilometer left?
Wait, which way did you go then?
No, you know, you have to pass the light and then you have to go through the neighborhood and then you come back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I was at the light the first time you get there.
Oh.
Yeah. And I look dumb because like now I'm gassed. And the people I pass are all like running past me.
Because you're tired now.
Yeah, so it's embarrassing. You're like, oh. Oh, you thought you could beat us? Like that's what I'm thinking. That's what I think that they're thinking in their minds.
I don't think they were paying attention like that.
You know, people look at me thinking like I'd be thinking like that.
maybe, but
yeah.
But at the end of the day,
you finished it, Sarah.
Exactly, and so we
finished together.
I know we actually. You know what? I'm gonna send Amir the photo that we took together. Yeah. Insert here. And honestly, shout out to Amir, to Marwa, to Steve, to Navat, who was our cheerleader. Mm-hmm. To be able to have friends that support your random ideas that you think of out of the blue. Like I mentioned this to them in Ramadan and they were just like, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
So. I said, yeah. And then I just kept forgetting to sign up.
That's exactly.
All it was for me. But I was always down to do it. And honestly, if they would have let me do it either way, like if I went, I would have done it.
I think they would have.
Like if I didn't sign up.
But yeah, so honestly, the real ones for showing up. And even my brother, I know he couldn't make it because he's,
you know, he has an excuse, you know. Mans is getting older, you know.
Yeah,
Mans is raga now, you know.
He was like, I don't want to be further I don't want to get injured before Amir's wedding because he was a groomsman.
Yeah,
so he wanted to be able to like show up, you know. Mm-hmm.
You know, he made a sacrifice and I came in to pick up where he left off. Okay,
exactly.
And support the fam.
Exactly.
But yeah. So the 5K day went well. We went out and got brunch. Didn't care about the calories. Because at that point, it's like, you know, you run a 5K, you can eat whatever you want for the rest of the day.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. But like, I don't think we overdid it.
Actually, yeah, low-key, we went to Mabel. And like, Mabel is a Turkish spot. Turkish spot, you can't really go crazy. Well, depending on like how much you... Even the yogurt, you can't really go too crazy on.
Yeah.
What can you get there that was like really high in calories?
Maybe the wrap.
But they do hide calories a lot. Like
they
in
do.
The fats and the oils that they cook everything in.
That's true.
So that's where it can add up. Mm. But all in all, we didn't really go too crazy.
Yeah. I feel like I remember I took my food to go.
Oh, yeah.
Because I had eaten, I had a bagel with an egg beforehand because I'm like, I'm going to need the carbs for energy later. Mm. And did I have a coffee or was I drinking my electrolytes? I think I was like just trying to chug, but then I'm like, this is so stupid because I'm gonna have to use the bathroom before the race. And so I stopped drinking and then, you know, took a water bottle with me and it all went downhill.
Yeah, you know what, but you still completed it, Sarah.
Exactly.
Okay. Do you remember what your time was?
I think it was like 49 minutes, which is it's
let's
slow
say that's what it was.
No,
I can't remember what it was.
It was that because I think when I was like training, I think I was hitting like 51. Mm-hmm. So I was happy that I hit it under 50 minutes at this point. But then I told myself, I'm like, okay, I know this was slow.
Yeah.
Like I was pretty much jogging for the majority of it, except for when I was walking at some points.
Especially that hill. I walked on that hill. Everyone walked that hill.
Actually, there was one girl who was walking.
Yeah.
And she was with her dad. And then... she was like angry.
Really?
But she, I don't know, maybe it was like the anger that motivated her, and mm-hmm. she ran up the hill. And we all watched her.
I want
we
that kind of motivation.
We were so amazed.
Yeah.
And we all started cheering for her. And then she sat on the bench after.
Aww.
Because she was pissed. Herself.
Yeah. It's like, no one told me about this hill.
Yeah. She was just like, that was so hard. And mm-hmm. I was like, well, you ran up it.
I wonder if they have like elevation maps or elevation warnings on runs that you do.
Oh.
You know? Okay.
Many supplements on the market are hard to absorb or packed with fillers. But that's not the case with Quiksilver Scientific. Quiksilver Scientific is a U.S.-based company that manufactures advanced liposomal supplements, making nutrients easier for your body to absorb and put to work quickly. Made in Colorado in an NSF GMP-certified facility and rigorously tested, this is science-first supplementation. After adding ultravitamin into my routine, recovery feels faster and I don't hit that midday crash anymore. Trusted worldwide for supplements that truly make a difference in performance, resilience, and well-being. Quiksilver Scientific makes advanced liposomal supplements so you can actually feel the difference. Energy, focus, calm, recovery. Get 10% off plus free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. That's tryqs.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I always feel the pressure to find the perfect gift for my relatives. In this case, whether you're sending an unforgettable gift or treating yourself to everyday perfection, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. For me, I'm not just into steaks. I like all types of meat. That's why I'll usually get the Winter's Bestseller Pack. It comes with juicy fillets, chicken breasts, pork chops, and even burgers. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. A family-owned company with over 100 years of experience in the meat industry. Save big on unforgettable gifts with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide and earn an extra 20% off select favorites during their cyber sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. Go to omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide plus an extra 20% off select favorites and more limited-time deals during their cyber sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.
Sure, that's something that some marathon runners have to worry about. Like, how much elevation is in this run?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I also think, like, the trail that I was running in, like, mm-hmm. near my house is pretty much all paved, pretty much solid. It's, like, very minor elevation, yeah. Like, so slight that it's not considered a hill mm-hmm. that I think now I'm going to keep in mind for, like, future runs mm-hmm. I'm going to train for, like, maybe switch up where I run
yeah.
to give me more.
Or just, like, oh, your treadmill doesn't have elevation, does it?
No, the walking pad. Mm. That was my other mistake. My walking pad only goes to, like, 3.8. Yeah. miles, I think.
Yeah.
So it's not that fast mm-hmm. and so I got used to that pace, which is what I was trying to match when I was running outside mm-hmm. But now my goal is to get faster and do my 5k in 30 minutes instead of 49 mm-hmm. and then once I accomplish that, then I'll do 10k.
You are, and I'll be there in my yeah. Vessies. Actually, maybe hopefully
no
some better running
unless
attire.
They sponsor us and they have Vessi running shoes, do
yeah.
they?
Yeah, they do. They do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they do.
Oh.
Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
Yeah, like waterproof ones or something?
If you do, you can let us know and we can, you know, advertise on here. I'm just saying this. Just hit us up, man. God damn.
You gotta say please.
Please. I've been trying for years. I literally buy all your shoes.
Oh god!
Y'all DM'd us once, okay?
I know, and then never ghosted responded. Us. You gave us your email. I emailed you, and you never responded. Damn it!
Left us on red, man.
Literally.
We're not butthurt though. Whatever.
It's fine.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
Maybe we'll reach
yeah.
out to Nike instead.
Yeah,
it's
let's
fine.
Move on. Let's move on to the next week, okay?
Anyway, following the next week, we were all flying out to Dallas
mm-hmm. party. For
for the wedding that we've been... Actually, we haven't really talked about it.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it as much.
All right.
Yeah.
Now's your time to shine.
Honestly, Hanan did most of the work.
No, but
we did have a planner. That's like, we had a planner. And like, of course, okay, so there was a lot of stress. And that's why, like, even with the podcast and everything like that, it kind of was like just mostly us, because like there was just a lot of like planning and stress and just a lot of stuff going into it.
Yeah.
So since a lot of our focus was on that, like even you guys were like getting set up and stuff like that, the podcast didn't get as much love. So inshallah, you know, going forward, we will focus more. But
I acknowledge that within you too. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, you know what? I feel like if we bring on guests, I know that Amir and I are the type of hosts where we want to invest our energy in doing research on our guests and like asking them appropriate questions. And I knew that his mind was kind of preoccupied. So I'm like, I'm not going to set him up for failure and have someone on. And so that's why we kind of just stuck to like just the two of us, what we know, what we're comfortable with. And we're at a stage now with the podcast where it's very minimal prep required because we're so used to it and we know what we're doing. Obviously, the quality of our content hasn't changed, and we never want to compromise that. And if we truly are like, you know, I don't know if we have anything, like we just won't record. But I feel like we, for the most part, we've always had something to talk about.
Yeah, we've always had something to talk about. I always make sure, or we always make sure that there's always something to talk about. So that's not the issue. It's just mainly like the extra stuff, like all the stuff we've been promising to do.
Yeah, but you know what? We still got five more months in the year. Exactly. And we gonna hit the ground running.
For real though.
Okay, back to the wedding.
But yeah, so all that was going into it. So I flew out a little bit earlier. And as I mentioned, my wife, Hanan, actually left the week earlier because she was going out to prep a little bit. But also she had like something we call the Aruz Mawalal. And we did film all this. So vlog will be coming at some time. But she was doing the Aruz Mawalal, which is basically where she gets her and her gang of friends and family, all the women, I mean, to visit other families' houses, and they basically get their blessings, and they, you know, they give them sweets and they make her drink milk.
No, you forgot the main part.
What?
The whole point of Aruz Mawalal is to like invite.
Oh, is that why? Oh yeah. Yeah, it is. Yeah, I forgot about that part. I forgot to mention that in the vlog too, but yeah, they go there to, it's basically to like invite the major families.
But like back in maybe our parents or grandparents' generation, I think they would do the Aruz Mawalal, like obviously like the neighborhood would hear about the upcoming wedding, but they would get the invite through the bride and her friends. Usually it's supposed to be like single friends.
Yeah.
And they go from house to house of the bride's side. And then they usually go to like the groom's mother's house as well. And then they end off at the bride's like house. Parents' house. Yeah. And then they do what we call Zagan Karabu, which is sort of like the, okay, you finished going to all the houses, and then you have like a little party with, you know.
All the fam.
All the fam, yeah.
And it's they're like, wearing like the traditional garb, I guess. Garb. What would you call it? Garb?
Gowns? Dress?
Dresses. Yeah, wearing like traditional dresses as they're doing all this.
Insert picture here.
Yeah. but yeah, so she went to do that ahead of time, and once I got there, things kind of like hit the road running. The first day before the wedding, we had like a big brunch, not brunch,
lunch,
dinner, lunch,
Linner.
So we had that, and we had like 200 people maybe inside the restaurant. It was a lot of people. We basically booked out the whole restaurant, and this is where we got to meet everybody, and it was chill. And it was more, yeah, exactly. It was more like a chill vibe. So you can kind of meet people before the wedding day. Because usually on the wedding day, especially as a bride and groom, you don't really get to interact with people. We still took the chance during the wedding to do that. But this was more in a relaxed setting. So we had that. And the next day was the actual wedding that we were planning. What?
You skipped over like a really...
Oh, did I?
There's like little details of the wedding that I absolutely love.
Okay, go ahead.
I know you're not going to take credit for it, but you know, it's still part of your day.
Yeah.
One thing that they did that I was like, wow, this is such a great idea and like so handy, so useful.
What?
The little gift bags.
Oh yeah, yeah. At the Linner, we made like little, almost like they're gift bags, but they're, what do you call it?
Care packages.
A care package, exactly, yeah, right? Yeah, like it had a little fan, because one thing about Dallas that we learned last year was that it gets hot.
It's hot.
But this year, Even though it was hot, it wasn't that bad, right? Yeah, it wasn't as
like
hot.
You know, I'm the first to always complain.
Yeah, and I think it helped because it rained, like literally the day before, to the point where when I first got there, I saw that it was still wet, and people were telling me like, make sure to bring rain jackets. I completely forgot to do that, but we were telling everybody else to bring rain jackets and something to keep warm from the rain, or not keep warm from the rain, but like protect themselves from the rain.
Oh yeah,
didn't rain.
Yeah,
it didn't rain at all.
It was a beautiful weekend. Yeah, it was
beautiful weather. I feel like the rain actually helped to like wash away. You know how like it's almost like LA where it gets kind of dusty and like dry.
Yeah,
when there's no rain, but this kind of like washed all that, so everything looked nice and fresh, and all the greenery was like nice and bright. So that really helped with it. But yeah, we gave care packages like some fans inside there, so people can like, you know, fan themselves when it gets a little too hot or when it does get too hot. And I forget what else was in there. It was like
there was a schedule for the wedding day, which was very useful. It had addresses, what time you should show up, where to park, all that like important details. And then it also, what I loved is they had the little emergency vitamin C packets.
Yes, that was one other thing. Yeah,
that came in handy because I was sipping on that.
Everyone, the one thing about emergency, I tried it the other day. I can't finish it. It is so
I love it.
It creates like a bubble in the back of my throat from how like
really?
I don't know
why.
It's
like Fanta.
The thing is, I've had it before and I didn't like have such a like adverse reaction to it. But this time I had it, maybe I had a different flavor and just didn't realize it, but it just wasn't hitting right.
Did you have the orange flavor?
Yeah. Maybe I just didn't water it down properly. I followed it exactly to the specifications where I put in the 6 ounces, 6 to 8 ounces.
That's why.
Yeah, maybe I was supposed to put more.
Like if you just use a 500 ml bottle,
yeah, that's fine. That's probably why I had too much of a concentration of it.
Maybe it was probably too strong for you.
But we gave that to everybody there because everyone knows whenever you have a big event, no matter what it is, people end up getting sick. There's a lot of people coming from different places around the world.
Yeah,
and you know, there's a lot of different, you know, well, while you guys are commingling, your viruses are commingling. So
don't put it like that.
hey, we're only human, okay? It's true. It's what happens.
And they had a little bag of PopSmart.
A what?
Is it called PopSmart? The little popcorn? The cheddar popcorn?
Oh, yeah. We had little chip bags inside there,
and
too.
And, like, chocolates. And chocolates,
yeah.
What else was in there?
I think that was mainly it.
Oh, and you had Lifesaver mints.
Yeah.
To keep your breath
Shows
fresh.
You how much I helped setting this up, guys. I'm figuring out what was inside there, too.
You didn't know?
No, I knew what was inside there. But, like,
sure.
Because I didn't set up every bag, like, if we had some family members set it up, I, like, can't remember exactly the details of what was inside there.
That's okay.
I remember it mainly because I had a bunch in the back of my car.
Yeah.
And like there was one point where we were driving and I forgot there weren't that many, so they just like started sloshing all over the back of the car. Yeah, but they were extras, so it was whatever.
It's fine.
But still, it was just everywhere inside my car. And they were melting because it was really hot too in the chocolates.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a little thing we set up for the guests the day before. And the next day was the wedding.
Yes.
So I had my 7 groomsmen. Shout out to all the brothers who helped out and, you know, were willing to be part of the wedding. I don't know if I should name them all individually, but, you know, you know who you are, okay?
Yeah.
Muneeb was one of them, my brother-in-law, who's also been on the podcast in the past year. And also Yasin, Aisha's husband, who's also been on the podcast here. I'm just going to shout out people who've been on the podcast here.
Yeah.
And a couple other cousins.
Literally all of your first cousins and Fatih. Yeah.
And Fatih. Shout out to Fatih as well. I don't think he's ever been on a podcast, but you never know in the future. I'm just saying. But yeah, so they were all in there. And an interesting thing, or kind of, I don't know if she wants me to mention this, but like.
Oh, what happened?
What happened?
I mean, it is.
It's not that crazy, right? It's not that crazy, okay? So. In the morning, actually, I forgot to mention, we also had like a rehearsal right after the dinner.
Oh, yeah.
We all like played it out. But
honestly, thank God for that. Because that's when we decided to switch like the entrance song. And it made a world of a difference.
Exactly, yeah. So that if you're ever going to have a wedding, here's some like wedding tips we're going to give out while we're speaking about this. First off is like having a pre-dinner or like something the day before the wedding where you can kind of like have something for mainly the people who are visiting from outside of the city. Because that dinner that we did have, I forgot to mention that part of it, it was mainly for people who are visiting and, like, actually who flew in for this, right? Because they invested a lot more into it. So I feel like they should be kind of acknowledged for that in some way.
That's so nice.
Right? Yeah. It was a way of, like, kind of thanking them. Okay, thank you for, like, making your way all the way out here, right?
Yeah.
So that was the intention behind that one. Mm. So if you're ever planning on having one, maybe have something like that, some way to like thank the people who are coming and paying money and you know, for their stay and all that stuff to come and celebrate your wedding. Mm-hmm. But for when you're getting ready for your wedding, another thing to have is a rehearsal. Mm-hmm. Because rehearsals are where things like what Sada mentioned happened, where we had like a certain song that we were going to walk into and we found out that it just wasn't vibing right. Mm. And she, was it you who suggested changing the song?
Yeah, because I was like watching you guys do the walk and I'm like, nah.
It ain't it. And we mentioned another one and it worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
And it made a huge difference. Yeah. Everybody loved it. Mm-hmm. So that's where rehearsals really help to like kind of like iron out all those issues and the things that just don't work.
Yeah.
But one thing that came out of that kind of like plays into what I'm going to talk about the next day was that we had some disagreement because, you know, women, they have to wake up a lot earlier for makeup and depending on who's there, like hair, it was mainly hijabi. So like, you know, there wasn't really too much hair, but you know, to get ready for women, they need a lot more time, right? So they're waking up like 5-6 o'clock in the morning, right? Mm-hmm. But guys, you know, guys, they don't need all that extra stuff, right? So when we were told that we also have to wake up at like 7-8 a.m.
Yeah, that's fine. 7-8 a.m.
Yeah, 7-8 a.m. We're like, it takes us like 30 minutes to get ready. We can all just chill. Like, why do you need us? Like, oh, you know, videographer, that kind of thing. We're like, okay, we'll do that, right? Mm. So we all get ready. There's a couple guys who like, I guess they didn't get the full memo. So like they pulled up to my door at 7 a.m., fully dressed.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. Yeah,
just fully dressed. I'm like, opening the door, I'm like, oh. And I'm literally in my underwear. Like, oh.
You would be.
Yeah. Like, I literally just woke up, guys.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah. So, these guys pull up, and we're thinking that we're going to get filmed and all that kind of stuff. Ended up, didn't really.
You guys didn't get filmed? Like, getting ready and stuff?
Not really. They filmed me getting ready.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
So the other guys are now like sitting there. Some of them are dressed, some of them are not. We're all just chilling in the room. And this is at like 7-8 a.m.
Oh my God.
And we're waiting to like figure out what we have to do next. Mm-hmm. And it's like 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, it's 9 o'clock. And we're being told like something has 10 o'clock. So we start kind of getting dressed. Everybody's getting dressed. It's like 10 o'clock, 11,
oh my gosh,
12. And it's like literally, I think it's like 1 or 2 p.m. At this point, we've literally had to, because I only had that room for the morning because we thought we'd kind of be out. Yeah. We had to shift rooms. And just by luck, one of the groomsmen, my cousin Adam, he had a room literally right next to me.
Oh, okay.
Like literally the door next to me. So we all just shifted mm-hmm. to the next room. And these, you know, they're asking like, okay, what's taking so long? What's happening, right? And ultimately, we found out it was kind of for a good reason. Well, no. You'll see. You can be debated on like whether good reasons, like loosely using that word. Uh-huh. But we found out that I guess when they were taking these, I forget what you call them, flat lay photos, mm-hmm. they had the ring, my wife's ring for that one. And when they were doing this in my room, right? Because I guess the girls, there's a lot of stuff going inside their room. So as they're taking the flat lay stuff back to her room, because they have to give her a ring back again, I see them with my own eyes. I see them put the ring in a bag and like put it in a box and they head out mm-hmm. and they go back upstairs or to wherever her room was. And we find out literally like 5 hours later that the reason that we've been waiting so long is because that ring has been missing ever since that moment.
Well, yeah, like Sabri came back to my room.
Yeah.
And I think he got a call from like Ziggy or something. Mm-hmm. And he didn't say what it was. Like mm-hmm. me and the girls are getting ready. And then he's like, what? Are you sure? Mm. Did you check the room? And I'm like, check the room for what?
Yeah.
And then once he's like done talking to her, he's like, oh my God. Because we were wondering like, hey, it's like 2 o'clock. Like, yeah. Shouldn't we leave? And he just kept telling us to wait. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, guys, they can't find the ring. And so I was like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like whose ring? Amir's ring or Hanan's ring? Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, like Hanan's ring. I'm like the wedding band or like the engagement ring. Mm-hmm. He was like both. And I was like, wait. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, no. Like, where was it? And he explained like they were taking flat lay photos, whatever. And I was like, you know what? Everyone's kind of panicking. Maybe like, let's just head over to the venue. Does mm-hmm. she need like a backup? Like, should we go buy a random ring for mm-hmm. her to just wear? And then we can look for it later. And so he was like, I don't know, but like they're stressing. I'm like, okay, you're a groomsman. Calm everyone down.
Yeah.
And don't tell anyone to calm down. Just like tell them, like, we'll look for it. Don't worry. And so how did you guys make the decision to just be like, all right, let's just go to the venue?
We didn't even make that decision. I think ultimately, or not ultimately, at the end, they're like, the show must go on. Right? Yeah. Like, whether we have it or not, show must go on. Inshallah, you know, things turn out, right? So we end up like having to switch out plans. And like, this is where, you know, you can rehearse as much as you want, you know? They say you plan and plan, but Allah plans.
Allah is the best of planners.
Amen. But yeah, so we just ended up trying to just going on with the show, right? Like, went to the house, and there's this whole custom where the groom and all his groomsmen will pull up to the house of the bride, and basically they would take her from there to the venue, right? And there's actually this custom that's technically not a Hariri custom or a cultural practice, which is you kind of like bid for the wife. I don't know if that's the right words to say.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What culture is that?
I think it's more of like an Amharic or some Ethiopian culture. Like, generally Ethiopian culture.
Oh, no, that one is, like, the groom tries to get into the bride's house, but, like, the bride's family's supposed to, like, stop him
from getting exactly. in. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, they're basically trying to, like, bribe you. Not bribe you to see her. Because they're stopping you from getting in, but they're like, hey, you know, but we'll let you in if, you know, the price is right.
Yeah.
So we're going back and forth. And mind you, we're dealing with American bucks. So, you know, every hundred this thing goes up. That's like 200 to me. Okay.
I mean, it's like, listen, $2, take it or leave it.
We're literally like fighting over like $5.
Oh my God. Yeah.
To the point where they're like, okay, like, we were expecting a little more, but this takes a little too long.
Yeah.
So finally we took her and we went in, and, you know, you had the first reveal where you get to see your wife and all that stuff. And, I took her in my car to the venue. And, one thing that another tip for people who are having weddings, if you want to take, like, you know, there's always that time where people want to take, like, family photos and stuff. If you want to do that, what we ended up doing was actually doing it privately before the event even started. Because before the event started, you're still full of energy. All your family still has, like, everything in the right place. Because at the end of the wedding, you know, things are moving around. At this point, you're sweaty. You're moving stuff around, that kind of thing. So everything still looks as you want it to, right? So we kind of kept the doors closed except for family, and we started taking all our family photos, and we took our own, like, personal individual photos. We got to see the venue first, so that's another thing to keep in mind. Like, if you want to, because you do all this planning, you do like months and months of planning, yet when you as a bride and groom go to the event, usually it's already filled out. You don't get to see it fresh, like with everything as it's intended to be or intended to look, without it being touched by people who moved around, right? So we got to go in there by ourselves, take photos by ourselves in the venue with no one inside yet, and then with the family afterwards, and then the event started.
Yeah.
Right? And then, of course, you know, wedding went on as weddings do.
Yep.
We had a couple walk-ins. Everybody and their mama was like, oh, we saw the wedding. The people who weren't there, of course.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're saying like, oh, we saw it. It was beautiful, man. We saw it. It's literally everybody just saw Aisha's video. Right?
Yeah, or like those, or like, of us that share, yeah,
people sharing stories and stuff like that. So, you know, from what I've heard, it looked beautiful.
And you were there.
No, it looked beautiful to me too, but like generally people were saying that too. People who are watching this probably saw it as well.
You know what though? What? The only thing I actually missed that I was so excited for was the bunna ceremony.
Oh yeah, we did that privately as well, in a way.
Where? You guys saw it?
We did it.
What do you mean you did it?
So, like, the bunna ceremony, we had...
it was on the outside. How did you guys do it? Weren't people there?
I forget when we did it. We did it. Like, people were in the hallway seeing us do it.
Oh.
Yeah. So, maybe you guys missed it. I can't remember when we did it. Things kind of, like, all mixed up right now. But essentially, what Sada's talking about is that one of the things we added to the wedding is like having a bunna ceremony. So anyone who's seen like the Ethiopian style of
coffee ceremony,
so we had like, you know, the little table with a bunch of the small cups and the jabana with the coffee inside of it, and we had like the chair of the person who's serving it and then one who's getting served. So we took photos there. Oh yeah, we took photos and video. Oh,
okay.
There, and initially it was Hanan's aunt who was like sitting there and giving us the tea, like, or the coffee traditionally. Mm-hmm. And then afterwards, we had like Hanan sat in the seat and would serve me, and we kind of did it vice versa. Mm-hmm. Just taking pictures in there while it's still untouched, right?
Got it.
And the intention was to kind of like make that space also our photo booth space, but it kind of moved. I can't remember why it moved, but yeah, that was also supposed to be like, and it was set up to be almost like a photo booth as well.
Oh.
And people could just take their own photos there as well, right? Because it was still kind of all set out there.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was a cool thing. We had like, because we had a wedding planner. Oh yeah. Shout out to Rania, by the
way. Yeah, I was like waiting for you.
Yeah. Our wedding planner was Rania.
Yeah.
Who we've also had on the podcast. And she literally mentioned it on the podcast when she was here years ago that she would be planning our wedding. And you know, she spoke into existence. She really did. So, and she did a great job. She did an amazing job. And it turned out beautifully. Mm-hmm. We even had like, we wanted to, because we chose not to do a Western style wedding. Like for us, it was very important to kind of like focus on more of our culture. Mm-hmm. And we made it, we spoke about it almost like an elevated Ankar Maktab. So Ankar Mahtab. Ankar Mahtab, where that's basically like, if anyone has seen like a Hariri wedding, it's ones where you see all the moms kind of walk in initially, chanting like our traditional songs, praising like the bride and the groom and everything.
Incorporating like religious aspects
too. Exactly. Yeah. So we did that, but more of an elevated style on our stage. You'll see in the videos, because I vlogged it as well, and you've seen the stories as well, but we wanted to bring a little of our city, or like
the essence of
Hadar. So we had these like gates set up behind us, and we put like, we actually took a photo of a gate from Hadar, and we copied like the text that was above it, and the
support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone, and that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W, with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University, set a course for change, certified to operate by CHEV.
With the tiles that are built into it. Mm-hmm. So that was definitely a huge inspiration. Even our entrance had a little arch on it too. Mm-hmm. So we definitely tried to bring, like, just showcase our culture in this wedding. And I feel like everybody kind of saw that.
Yeah.
Especially with even the flowers. Even the flowers were all supposed to be flowers that you would see in Hadar as well.
That's why you picked those specific ones?
Yeah, exactly. So they were like very bright purple and orange and mixed, like very bright colors.
Yeah.
So, yeah. The wedding went well, alhamdulillah.
Did you have fun?
Yeah, definitely had fun, man.
Yeah.
Once like we got warmed up, I was like, you know what? Let's go all out. Yeah, let's have fun here.
Yeah.
You know, my knees gave out a couple times, but we just kept going, kept pushing. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know about you. You guys were like just jamming out there.
You know what? Mm-hmm. I will say, like, I was pretty much wanting to capture as many like behind the scenes, like just clips for the vlog. And I also when I was vlogging, I didn't really know how much we wanted to show, how much Amir wanted to show, how much Hanan wanted to show. So I was like, you know what? I'll just record everything and then you can decide when you're editing it. But then I also was like, wait, I don't want to miss out on the moment.
I know. Yeah, that's kind of hard.
And so I was like constantly going back and forth. But honestly, so Aisha and I and my sister-in-law, Amal, we were all sitting with the groomsmen. Mm-hmm. So shout out to the groomsmen, Amal. Like, they all helped me record.
Yeah.
Like, taking turns, so it wasn't just solely on me, and like they were also helping out to try and make sure like we captured from different angles. And you know, like, maybe I'm like a little bit vertically challenged, so I couldn't always get the best angle. So
yeah, you did. Okay, I didn't look at that footage yet. I'm still working on like the first couple of days.
That's okay. Yeah. That's okay. But I think overall, honestly, this had to have been one of the most fun weddings I've ever attended. Like, mashallah, everything was and it was so like just well executed.
Oh yeah, you gave a speech too. She gave a speech.
Yeah, you know what though, but like, so I was told that I have like a very short window, and so I was like stressing because I know I'm a yapper.
Yeah,
duh, we have a podcast. So that's why. Did you notice my speech was like so short?
Yeah.
And then when on the day of, like, the night before, Muneeb showed me his, and he pulled it up on the notes app, and he just kept scrolling, and I was like, Muneeb, don't you, we have a very little window. He's like, I don't care. And I'm just like,
yeah,
yeah, but I don't want your family to hate me. So mm-hmm. I'm just going to keep mine short and sweet.
Yeah. But his was worth it. So yeah, gave a speech, but it was more of like a poem slash spoken word performance.
It was so like, so he asked me, mm-hmm. do you want to read my speech or do you want to be surprised? And I was like, no, I want to be surprised. Mm-hmm. And I truly was surprised. Yeah. I think the whole audience was. He like found a way to incorporate audience participation.
Yeah.
It was so well executed mm-hmm. that I was like, man, I shouldn't have given a speech. But I'm what? Like, you know what?
No, you can't compare speeches like that. You did a beautiful speech, Sara.
Thanks, Amir. Yeah, you but yours was too. I told all my coworkers about it.
Oh, come on. I can't remember my speech like that.
It was a specific message that you said that I mm-hmm. was like, wow, you know what? That was...
Shout out to me.
I'm going to remind you what you said.
I can't remember what I said.
So he basically started off his speech by saying, like, you know, anyone who knows me knows that I never really wanted a wedding. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, my God, where is he going with this? Mm-hmm. Like, I got nervous. Yeah. So I'm like, what is he about to say? And then he's like, but, you know, through planning this wedding and working with Hanan and working with Rania, I've come to realize that it's not about like the details and all of that. It's really about bringing two families together and celebrating our union. And I was like, wow, Amir, ChatGPT, huh?
Shout out to Hanan as well.
Hanan write that for
she
you?
She helped. Well, she wrote, like, she basically, like, wrote out speech and we kind of fleshed it out together.
Got it, yeah, got it, got
she
it.
Gave, like, the bones and I was like, okay, you know, this is how we can take it. We can switch it up a little bit here. And
that yeah. Kind of, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. But then he said that and I was like, wow, I'm pretty sure in my recording you'll hear me saying, like, wow, Amir. And I was like, oh, shoot, let me not. So mm-hmm. I'm, like, holding the camera away from me. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was a very beautiful, like, reflection that you added mm-hmm. to your speech.
It was a great reminder, well you know,
said.
For all of us.
Well said, mm-hmm. well said.
Thank you, you know.
You're welcome.
He's a good speech, too, said.
Thanks, Amir.
But, yeah, so the wedding, like I mentioned, went well, alhamdulillah. Mm-hmm. The next day, we were supposed to be the Gufta Mogad. Mm-hmm. And alhamdulillah, we woke up in the morning with some good news. Because a couple of the girls went back to the hotel the next day. I don't even think we had the room at that. Or maybe we did. I can't remember. But they did like a full-on, like just like deep search in that room. Mm-hmm. And finally, alhamdulillah, they finally found the rings. Hey, there you go. We got to remember, C's for cheer.
Yes.
Yes. So yeah, they found the ring. And that was like, you know, that was a huge kind of like burden lifted off of everyone's shoulders.
Yes.
At that point, I think Hanan was like, I just had accepted that it was gone forever.
You know what though? You couldn't even see the stress or disappointment on her face at all during the wedding.
Oh yeah. Yeah. She, at that point, is like compartmentalizing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and actually that night mm-hmm. of the wedding, we were given a room at Rosewood. It's like a very like high class hotel because Hanan's dad happens to work there and he was given like two rooms for like two free nights inside there with like a bunch of free room service.
Ooh.
And we took advantage of that, man. Once we got there, we were like buying food constantly. We were going ham that morning on the food.
Yeah.
And we got the news and then we're like, you know, let's go out and get some, even though we had a bunch of breakfast stuff, we're like, let's go to a cafe mm-hmm. real quick. We heard about this place called Crescent Cafe in Dallas, which is actually a Hariri owned cafe in Dallas. So if you're in Dallas, check it out. Mm-hmm. It was bomb. Like we got some, I got a coffee. I got like a latte or something like that.
Mm. Did you get the Crescent latte?
Yeah, I think I got the, what did I get?
I got the Crescent latte. It was really good.
Actually, I didn't get a latte. I drank some Hadad's latte and it was really good. I think I can't remember exactly what I ordered because there was so much going on there because once we pulled up, it was empty, right? Yeah. There was like maybe like two people. There's one guy on a computer. There's a couple people chatting in the corner. And we're waiting in line. And we hear like a familiar voice behind us as we're ordering. So we turn around and tell us why Rania is there with her
assistant, yeah.
Sada, yeah. Mm. They're there and like, oh, look, you know, what are the chances, right? Of course, it's a Hariri spot. We know you're going to see people there, right?
Yeah.
So we start like chatting it up. We order our food. We're waiting for food. They order their food. And then as we're just sitting down, I got a cookie, of course. You know, typical.
You didn't get fatira?
No, because like we already ate in the morning, right?
Oh, yeah,
so I just wanted
yeah.
something sweet.
Okay.
So as we're sitting down, we hear like some familiar voices coming through the beads because there's no door to get into. It's like a store. You walk into the store and then the cafe is like next to it. So there's some beads. Tell me why her Hanan's whole bridal party pulls up at the exact same time into this, like, it's a cafe, so it's a, but it's a pretty small spot because it's like connected to the side of a store. Mm-hmm. So it's a full, now you have like 8 or 9 extra bridesmaids in this small like space. And you know how it is, like a bunch of people meet each other, they're all talking, they're all excited about what happened yesterday, they want to recap, all that thing. Mm-hmm. This place, like, it sounds like a jet engine is taking off in this room.
Oh my God.
It gets so loud, to the point I felt so bad. There's a dude that I mentioned at the beginning who was sitting on his computer, you know, it's a cafe, you want to chill, you want to do some schoolwork, right? Same. This guy, like, closed up his laptop, he's like, I'm out of here.
Oh.
So, like, this guy got out so quick.
Damn.
But that got us to get, that gave us an opportunity to take over the whole space.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, I see my cousins pull up into the spot as well, and they're like asking us what we got.
Yeah.
So at that point, we just took over the whole cafe.
That's fair. Right?
And I felt bad because, like, it's a new cafe, so they're still getting used to making their orders. It takes a little bit longer than normal. And then when 20 people show up, like,
they're like, oh,
yeah.
Shoot.
There's okay. One girl wasn't part of any of us, like, just a customer pulled up. And I don't think she was expecting that. You saw her eyes got a little wider when she walked in. She's like, okay, I'm gonna just innocently walk in, just make my order and get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
And because there was, like, she didn't realize there was 20 orders like before her, she was there for a while.
Yikes.
She was there for a long while. You could tell the point where it's like, you know when, like, someone's like waiting so long that, like, it's getting to that awkward moment where, like, they want to say something but they don't want to be that customer. So I could see that going through her head. Cause I'm a people watcher. I, like, sometimes I, like, look at people, I'm like, oh, they're just like me.
Mm.
Right. So that was happening, but we had to call it quits at some point and just head out because we had to get ready for the Angkar, not Angkar, sorry, for the Gufta.
Mm-hmm.
So the next cultural practice that we had was called the Gufta Mogad.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we mentioned these things before, but for our new listeners.
Yeah.
We did something called the Gufta Mogad, where Hanan did it,
mm-hmm.
where basically they, it's almost like a...
It's a ceremony.
It's like a rite of passage, or like a ceremony, essentially.
Yeah, you could call it that.
Where all the mothers will come together, they'll sit her in the middle of the room, Hanan that is, and they'll, like, tie her hair.
Yeah, they part it into two.
Yeah, they part her hair into two. You can describe it better, yeah.
Where's Hassan when you need him? So... they part her hair into two, mm-hmm. and then they basically tie the gufta, which is this, like, a, what do you call it? Like, it's not on a hijab, but it's like a fabric that they use to put on your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then they, like, tie two little, like, balls. Like, they put your hair into two buns, tie it like that. And then they, you know, adorn the bride with, like, the gold and put on the traditional atlas, the same one that she wore. Not the same one, but, like, the same style as what she wore for the Aruz Mawalal.
Yeah.
So it's usually like a longer fabric that they then have to, like, puff up and, like, tie in place. And while they are doing this, so I don't know if you were, like, paying attention to the lyrics of what this, like, the songs they were singing. It's essentially...
Because I wasn't in the room for...
Did you leave at that point?
Yeah, I was in another room because typically men are not supposed to be there for this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay. So I vlogged this too.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll notice when you watch the vlog... it's essentially a Harari rap battle.
Really?
Between the guy side and the girl side.
Oh, so, okay. Like, when she said guy side, I mean, like,
the groom's
side. The mothers
side.
And the aunts from the groom's side.
Yeah. The mothers and the aunts from the groom's side versus the mothers and the aunts from the bride's side.
Mm-hmm.
They basically go back and forth and say, like, how do I directly translate this? They basically say, like, It is like a rap battle, and you'll see in the video, like, the way that they're yelling, but not really. And so they'll try and praise the bride and be like zikeh kahat, which means, like, how do you say zikeh kahat? The golden girl?
Yeah.
But then they'll say, like, salih liji or something, like, what does salih mean? Pure? I don't know. Something like that.
Something like that. Yeah.
Like the pure boy. And so they'll go back and forth with, like, different praises.
Like praising each other. Praising the groom and the bride. Yeah.
Exactly. And so then they go back and forth as they're getting Hanan ready.
Mm-hmm.
And then once she's fully dressed, that's when the groom comes out to do, like, the grand reveal.
Yeah.
And the whole purpose of, like, dressing her in the gufta, in the atlas, and the gold is to signify that she's now officially, like, a married woman.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, like, the one of the closing ceremonies of the whole, like, wedding process in the Harari culture.
And I think, like, traditionally, like, they would just continue to wear this outfit forever?
I think like anytime they...
Or anytime they go out?
Like other weddings? Or
yeah, or something like that. Because this gufta, like a lot of times we joke about how they basically make her look like an ummah or a grandma.
Yeah.
Because when we were children, we would always see our ummas, our grandmas in this traditional outfit, like the gufta outfit, where basically they have their hair parted in and wrapped inside of these like balls, basically on the on side of
think
their
of
head.
Like a hijab.
Yeah.
And you have your hair in two low buns and then they use the hijab to cover the buns.
Yeah.
Like yeah. It sounds funny when I'm trying to explain
I'm
it
sure
for the
we
audio
have photos
listeners.
That I can put up of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it, but that was because typically they'll just continue wearing it for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
And of course that doesn't really happen now, but now we continue that at least a tradition of doing it.
Yeah.
Right?
It's a very symbolic ceremony.
Yeah, it is. Mm. So that happened, and it was kind of like our final way of thanking everyone for coming out.
Concluding
the event, essentially, right? Gufta Maged is always like, you know, the spirit of it is like concluding everything and kind of being like, okay, now we've done everything completely, right?
Yep, yep.
Like, there's no other things after this.
Culturally, there are still like other concluding events, yeah. But we weren't going to do all that. It's too much work.
Shout out to Tom Project. You know, they Hassan put a book. We had him on the podcast. That explains every step to a wedding, mm-hmm. pre and post, all mm-hmm. that stuff.
Exactly.
But yeah, so that was the end of our wedding festivities. We mm-hmm. finished it with the gufta. We had more photos. We literally sat with like us, me and Hanan, in a chair in the middle of the stage that they made for us. We sat there for like 3 hours straight as just rotations of people. Because every single person in that room at this event had to take a photo with. Like that's how it typically goes, right? Mm. So you're just sitting there with a smile on your face, trying not to look like it's like you're slowly dying inside.
Yeah.
To the point where like we're sitting there, the place is almost completely empty. And like there's still like one or two people left to take photos and stuff. And then finally, when the last person's done, you get up. But before that, you don't get up once. You just sit there and take photos the whole day. Mm-hmm.
And pretty much.
Yeah, we finished out the event. So that was the wedding that we've been working up to for like the past 8 months to a year, basically.
Yeah, mm-hmm. literally.
Next was, should I talk about our little honeymoon?
Yeah, how was the
Technically,
Bahamas?
It's our second honeymoon.
How was it?
Honestly, the Bahamas, like, we lucked out.
Why?
I got really lucky with this spot that I picked out. I don't know how this place was available from when I booked it, but you guys would, like, I can't even put into words, like, how perfect this location was that we went to.
Oh, so the secret location that you...
Yeah, so we went to Nassau. We went to Nassau.
Yeah.
I had pre-booked everything, like, Hanan knew nothing about like what we were planning to do. Like she's like, you know what, I got all this wedding stuff to plan, like you know, you can take care of the honeymoon after. I was like, bet, I got it, right? And you know, pat myself on the back.
I'm surprised you didn't ask for help once.
Huh?
I'm actually impressed.
No. Yeah, exactly. Like even when it came to like the day before, she's like, okay, like now let's find out what we're actually gonna be doing, right? So I was like, okay, maybe we can talk about it now.
Yeah,
but when planning it, so we ended up going to Nassau, Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I kind of chose that place is because I knew about it from when I was a child. We were on a cruise like back when I was like 13, 14-ish.
Mm.
And that was one of the stops at the cruise port.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember it being really nice there and very peaceful. So I was like, you know what, why don't we go here? But like not on a cruise port, but like just like fly out there. Like here. Actually go there, right?
Mm.
But last year for the nikah, we ended up going to a resort in Cancun, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't want the resort vibe. I didn't really like the resort vibe as much.
Okay.
I was like, let me go for something a little bit more like unique, and we wanted to just relax.
Yeah.
So I looked for an Airbnb there, and that was far away from the city. Like just, you have the island, there's one side of the island where all the city is, and the other side was just completely just like beaches.
Yeah.
So I happened to find this one Airbnb that... The pictures I thought were fake because it literally just showed like beachfront stuff.
Yeah.
And then the apartment. I was like, so maybe like there's like a 5 minute walk to this beach part and they're just saying that it is part of the beachfront.
Right.
So I kind of knew what to expect, but didn't at the same time. And so I booked a car. If you're ever going to go to like Nassau, Bahamas, I prefer just to, I would tell you just to like book your own car because one thing I forgot or didn't know initially was that it's a one-to-one deal with a U.S. dollar to the Bahamian dollar?
Bahamian?
Bahamian. So essentially, like, to the point where they mix their money. So when they're dealing with the money, like, you'll see them counting American money, and then it'll switch to Bahamian and then back to American money, because it's literally one to one. So if you're gonna go to the Bahamas, just know it's gonna be very expensive.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I learned from this trip. So I got the car. We flew to the Bahamas. This is a day after the wedding. So, like, Gufta Mugad was on Sunday. We flew it on Monday near the afternoon. And we got our car. Weather was perfect.
Good.
Like, not a cloud. Well, clouds, but it wasn't, like, any rainy clouds in the sky. It was hot, but it wasn't, like, too hot to where, like, it's unbearable.
Yeah.
And we get in the car. We start driving to the spot. And, you know, it was already, it was kind of a little getting iffy. Because remember, I was still kind of like iffy on the spot. I didn't know how good it was going to be, right? So I pull up, and getting to the spot, when you see the instructions to get to it, it was literally like a full paragraph. And I was like, I'll figure it out. I didn't want to read the whole paragraph. I'll figure it out. I drive to, like, the first gate I see that kind of shows up in front of the spot. And I don't see any of the stuff that is supposed to be there, like the log pad. So I give her a call. And I had to use WhatsApp because, like, you can't use regular phones. But apparently everyone in Bahamas uses WhatsApp. So I was able to call on there. And she's like, you didn't read the instructions, did you? She's been kind of condescending on it, too. Yeah. Like, you didn't read the instructions, right? Just look at the instructions. And it's like, go down here. I was like, oh, okay. You know what? Let me just actually read them out. I'll find it out. So I find out that, like, there's another driveway on the side, and it's all just, like, broken down rock and, like, super rocky. And then it says, like, you're going to turn and you're going to see a long, bumpy road, and it's going to be like, you're going to feel like you're going in the middle of nowhere, but don't worry, it's on the other end. And we start driving this bumpy road. When I say bumpy road, I mean, like, literally, like, you're
off-roading. Walking.
Yeah, you feel like you're off-roading. And I'm in this little dinky, like, rental car that I got, because I thought I was going to be on regular roads. We finally make it to the end, and thankfully, it, like, clears up to a regular road.
Mm.
And I find out the reason they had to go on this bumpy road is because the driveway that they have to regularly enter this place, they're doing construction on it, so they made, like, a separate road for it.
Got it.
And then we get to the spot. I park the car. I'm, like, figuring out how to get into this place. I get open the gate. I park the car, and I see the beach. I'm like, oh, okay. This is pretty nice. I'm like, I wonder where the apartment is. And I see these apartments that are, like, away from the beach. Oh, it must be here or whatever. You know, the photos are just showing this area. But we start making our way towards the beach, and it says, okay, walk down the rocky path. So, okay, you know, I'm just going to get a little excited. I walk down a rocky path. I see some, like, nice palm trees in the front.
Ooh.
And it's, like, white sand, super clear. You see the clear water.
Yeah.
You see, like, a white picket fence. You see a hammock. You keep turning, and you see, like, a little balcony and some stairs to go up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the Airbnb was.
Like, literally right off the
beach? Right off the beach.
You were probably so anti. I
was like, yo, I'm going to get so many points for this.
You ran, didn't you?
Of course. Okay. No, I had to carry the luggage, right? Oh. And at this point, we were already tired, too. But I was like, I was excited, low key on the inside, right?
High key.
Yeah. But Hanan was like, she was having a blast. She was loving it. Like, the fact that when you walk into this apartment, you open up your window to when you first get inside. Beach? It's just beach. You
oh my God, that's tree. The best.
I can probably put up some photos of it. But I'm actually like low-key trying to like keep this place on the down low so like no one else can take it because I want to go back here.
I'm dead.
Even people like when I got back, I was like kind of being iffy on like telling people.
Literally came to our barbecue last week and he's like, guys, I stayed at the best place in the Bahamas, but I'm not telling you where. Yeah. And we were like, what do you mean?
Yeah, because that's how good it was. And like for the price I got it for.
Yeah. It was a steal?
It was a steal.
For yeah?
Real. Yeah. And like this Airbnb host, she was amazing. She provided what do you call those things? The goggles?
Oh, yeah.
The goggles and the snorkel.
Mm.
She provided like, what do you call those boards that you can stand on?
Oh, they're
They're like the surfboards rafting. That you stand on, basically. She provided those as well.
Paddle boards. Yeah.
She provides like a chairs that you can sit on the beach with and an umbrella.
Ooh.
So
she was like.
We could have just sat there, like stayed in our Airbnb outside of getting food.
Yeah.
And just like chilled there for the whole week. But of course, we had itineraries and stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
But we definitely had a beach day where we just chilled on the beach.
Yeah.
We like swam in the water. We like found a little like reef that was just like right off the water from where we were, and we swam there. We saw some fish and stuff. It was perfect.
So cool.
Honestly, this trip couldn't have been more perfect.
Yeah.
At least the location from where the Airbnb was.
Mm-hmm.
So we were having a blast there. you didn't want to go. There's one night where we were able to even like see the stars because you're so far from the city.
Yeah.
That there's no light pollution. There's not as much light pollution. So you're able to see the stars from there. Mm-hmm. So we're able to enjoy that as well. And then we, for the rest of the week, we had, what did we do again?
You went to a water park.
Oh yeah, we went to a water park.
How do I know more about this?
So that's one thing. If you ever go to Nassau, like if you're not going to go to the resorts, like maybe you want to save some money, mm-hmm. you can still pay to like for a day pass to go to the resorts. Mm-hmm. But I guess you're not really saving money because it is very expensive there. The biggest drawback to, there are a couple big drawbacks. The first one was that because it's one-to-one with the dollar and because it's a cruise port and they know like, there's purely going to be working off tourists because like they just went all in on the tourist thing. Mm-hmm. Everything is expensive. A simple salmon, like salmon with salad and rice or whatever, would be $26 US. Yeah.
But you know what?
You're and like your it's honeymoon. Very basic.
You're on your honeymoon. Just live it up.
I guess so. But that the second thing outside of the high prices was that like the food to me in my eyes
it was basic.
I'm sorry to all the Bahamians anyone who's listening from the Bahamas, the food was very basic. It's not my kind of food. I'm sorry. It's very like they know who their audience is, mostly like, you know,
Americans.
Frangiach, for those who understand what that is. Americans, yeah, Americans who you know they can't really handle the spices and stuff. Like spices was definitely not part of any of the dishes.
Got it.
Like you know, our kind of spices.
So it was just salt and pepper.
Yeah, it was like salt and pepper. We had a couple good dishes. There's a place we went to called O Andros that had like this seafood, grilled seafood dish where you get different pieces of seafood. And that one was really good. But outside of that, like you're spending $50 on like the most basic meals. So that was a big drawback. Just the food there wasn't, but we didn't go for the food. We went there for the views, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we did that. We saw Nassau a bit. Is one weird thing about Nassau is that because it's a cruise port, literally the only time that things are open, you see like it's like there's a vibe in the city, is between like 10 a.m and 6 p.m or like 10 a.m and 5 p.m There's one day where we had a dinner at one of the resorts. It was actually at, it's called Marcus Chop House or Marcus Fish and Chop House. Marcus, I don't know, you guys know, he's actually an Ethiopian
Ethiopian chef.
Yeah, the Ethiopian chef. He has a restaurant there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So when I saw that, I was like, you gotta support your Habesha men out there, or your Habesha chefs out there, right? So
right.
We went out there, and while we were waiting, we had a bunch of extra time. We had like 2 hours to kill. So we're like, oh, let's go down to the Nassau, or like the city, and like check it out, right? I heard about this thing called like the Queen's Staircase, and this is around 6 p.m., and we got there, and like, we didn't see anyone at the Queen's Staircase. This is like a big tourist attraction, right? And there's supposed to be like a huge fort next to it as well that we can check out. But that one was closed. And we're like, why is it closed so early? So it closed at 4 p.m. there.
Oh,
and we basically had the whole thing to ourselves. There's this dude who was like, oh, you can just park right there. And then like he started giving us like the whole history behind it. You know, he's trying to, you know, get some of that. You know, I was like, you know, he's a few bucks. You know, he gave us a little history lesson on the Queen's Staircase and all that. And we ended up walking from there towards the city. And tell me why this place felt like a ghost town.
Really?
It was empty. Like, completely no tourists, nobody walking the streets except for some of the locals.
That's kind
of
eerie.
Actually, someone told us at one point, like, you probably shouldn't be there around like, past 6 o'clock, even when it starts to get a little bit darker. Because over there, since it's lower on the, closer to the equator, like, the sun goes down a lot earlier. So, like, yeah, you probably shouldn't go there. You're probably going to get robbed if you're, like, in the city. Yeah.
What?
Yeah, apparently it's like not the safest at nighttime.
Oh.
So, but yeah, so we walked around. Everything was closed, so we couldn't do anything. And because we were so early to the dinner, we were already hungry. So we ended up like just like pulling up to a Subway, which was just about to close as well. And like we got like a little sandwich to kind of hold us over.
How was the restaurant though?
Oh, the restaurant was amazing. Like the food was amazing.
Spice
level. The service was amazing. The spice level, because, you know, they actually had like Berbere infused butter.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah, it was good. Yeah, the food there was amazing. Of course, well, shout out to the Havishas out there, okay? We know how to spice things properly. This place, out of all the food that we had the whole trip, that was definitely like the best spot.
Really?
It's definitely expensive though, because everything's in American dollars as well. Like, just get ready to spend a lot of money when you go there.
Yeah, fair.
But that was definitely the best meal we had.
Wow.
And it was just a really nice night that night as well, like every night was. The weather was perfect. And one of the days we actually ended up also conquering, you know, one of Hanan's fears as well. I don't know if you guys, but like, she's not the best with heights.
Yeah.
But I was surprised she actually agreed to go parasailing.
Oh my God, how was that?
It was actually really fun. And honestly, it wasn't even like that scary.
Was it the in tandem one?
Like yeah, the, exactly.
Okay, that's better than like the solo one.
Oh, you do solo?
That's the one that we did in Mexico.
I thought you guys did tandem.
No, why do you think I was freaking out?
Oh, okay, my bad. But yeah, it was really nice. Like, they took us out. They literally got us from the shore. We just jumped on the boat.
How did you... you were on the boat and then you just went up from the boat?
Yeah, we went on from the
boat. Oh my God, that's a lot better experience than what I did.
Yeah, it was definitely nice. It was nice. Because like, all they do is like, they drive out.
Mm-hmm.
You're sitting on it. And as the wind takes your... What do you call it? Parachute?
They start
letting go of the reel. They let you out in the air and then you're flying around. You get to see the nice view of everything around.
Were you able to take your phone? Probably not,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I had my phone. Because the day before, since I went to the water park,
mm-hmm.
I ended up buying the waterproof case so we can like film and stuff too.
Yeah.
So I had that with me. So I was able to film while I was up there as well.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. That's the one thing I wish I got to do.
The waterproof case came in clutch.
Yeah?
Yeah, because while we were at the water park, we were able to like swim in the pools that they have there. And we were like taking video there as well. Also, RIP to my Vessi. Or not Vessi, sorry. RIP to my Versa, my watch.
Oh,
I had to get a new one. It had cracks in it. It was going to die.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, the salt finally got to it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to repair it still at home.
Just give up. Is that another smart watch?
Yeah, I got another smart watch now.
What is that?
This one's Amazfit.
Never heard of that.
It's actually probably better than my Versa, but...
So then just let it
Yeah, I
die.
Know. I just wanted to see if I'm able to do it. But that definitely died like within the first hour of being at that water park.
What did you think was going to happen?
I know. I don't know why I thought I could wear it. The weird thing is that I took it off the day before when we had the beach day.
Yeah.
So I don't know what I was thinking. But yeah, it's that died. But overall, the Bahamas was amazing.
Yeah.
And yeah, the only caveats I would say is like, just everything is really expensive. Mm-hmm. And don't go there for the food. Go there for the views and for the attractions. Because that was definitely nice. Oh, sorry. And another thing, just specifically to Muslims. I know all you guys are listening are Muslim. They have a very heavy drinking culture.
Oh.
So like everything is geared towards getting you to drink, even the food, right?
Interesting.
To the point where we were going towards the airport on the day that we were leaving, and Hannah was like, oh, let's try some of the like local food, like the actual cultural food. And we couldn't really find any good spots like closer to the airport. But finally we like made a decision on one area, and it wasn't even traditional food. It was like a roti spot.
Okay.
But when we got there, it's advertised as a restaurant, right? But every place is advertised as a restaurant and bar.
Mm.
And usually in Toronto, when you hear restaurant and bar, you're like, oh, okay, there's a restaurant and like they might have a bar on the side, right?
Yeah.
Tell me why every place that's advertised as a restaurant and bar, it's a bar only. And you go to the bar to order food.
Oh,
right.
Yeah.
So it was that kind of situation. And it was awkward because we walk into this spot. Everyone can tell we're tourists, right? The first guy, it was like two like army men or like immigration officers there. And immediately the guy looks at us like, you're Habesha, aren't you?
How did he know?
Because he's an immigration officer. I guess he sees a lot more Habesha people. But yeah, he immediately called it out because everyone's looking at us. They're trying to figure out who we are, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in the middle of Nassau. This is where only the locals are. Right.
Oh.
So it's we're not, you know, they typically don't see us just like tourists like pulling up to these spots.
Right.
So, and because we can't eat the meat, we had to go for the fish option. And because it's a bar, they're not going to keep stock of everything. So they definitely didn't have fish available. So even though it's on an island.
So what'd you guys do?
We ended up going to like a spot that was right next to it.
Mm.
I forget the name of that spot, but they had like very traditional food, which wasn't really to my liking. After we ordered it, it was like collard greens and like they had like a fish option, but it's like the whole fish, like the full body.
It wasn't
to my liking. Hanan had one that was really good. I forget what that one was called, but we just got that. I got some food before we took our plane. We flew off. I got some food before we took off.
Yes.
From the plane.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, they left 30 minutes early. Like, they were calling. I ordered my food thinking that we had an extra hour. They started calling the minute I got my food. And boarding on the paper wasn't supposed to start for another 30 minutes.
Wait, why'd they do that?
I don't know. And they left early, too. And the plane was empty, so I think they just knew how many people were going to be coming anyways. Oh. So once they knew that everybody was there, everybody was checked in, they're like, we can just kind of get off now. Like, everyone's already here anyways, right?
Yeah.
So I think that was maybe their thinking. So we got out, we left early, we landed early.
How long is the flight?
It's like two hours and 50 minutes.
Bahamas to Toronto?
Yeah. I was surprised.
What?
I know.
Why aren't we at the Bahamas every other weekend? Right? What the heck?
And it wasn't even that expensive, like, relative to everything else.
Why did I think you took expensive. Like an 8-9 hour flight?
Nah, it's not. It took longer.
Where is the Bahamas?
It took longer to get from Dallas to the Bahamas than from Bahamas to Toronto.
No, where is it in the world? Is it in South America?
South of Florida. Yeah.
Clearly, I'm not good at geography.
Yeah, it's literally like Florida's here, and the Bahamas is like right here.
Oh, because it's all East Coast. Yeah. So there's no time difference.
Same time as well. Yeah. Yeah. So the Bahamas was nice. Just if you're Muslim, just watch out for the drinking culture.
Yeah.
And just get ready. And for generally, just get ready to spend a lot of money.
Yeah.
And not have the best food. But outside of that, views, like weather, attractions, everything was beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And we made it back. Yeah. And a lot's been going on since then. But alhamdulillah, we were able to make it here and finally get y'all an episode. I know we've been going on long. It's mainly been me talking with this, I guess.
That's okay. But you know what? Maybe we'll conclude it here and actually get into like life, like world updates. Sorry, next episode and like, you know, what we have coming up for Cousin Connection and all that good stuff. But if you enjoyed our little catch up session, you already know what to do. Actually.
Yeah.
We hit 8K subscribers.
Did we?
Yeah, while Amir was getting married.
Yeah.
We hit 8,000 subscribers, which y'all. Like, you guys, that's huge. Mm-hmm. We're now under 2,000.
There you go.
What does D stand for? Oh.
Drums.
Drum. Oh, okay.
Maybe that's how they work. Oh, no. I thought maybe each letter there by default.
So then what's A? Audience laughter.
Yes. Okay. You can totally say that.
Okay. You weren't going to say that.
I don't even know if it's going to show up on the thing, but whatever.
It might. Yeah. But yeah, subscribe.
No, you said, but I went, shh.
Oh.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
Anyways. You know, make sure that you guys join the Cousin Connection family. Be part of the under 10K club. And you know what? Getting this gear from the Everything brand has like re-motivated us, inspired us to like really get into our creative side to launch the Cousin Connection merch. Inshallah, coming soon, hopefully this year, before this year ends.
Yeah, at least we'll get the process started.
Yeah, we will, and we'll get to it. But there we go. Wait, extend your leg so that they can see.
There you go.
If you're watching this, wow, look at that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying. Comfy, cozy gear. Again, the promo code to get 20% off your order is EverythingCCP. Again, it'll be listed here or somewhere on the screen, wherever. But yeah, make sure you follow us on Instagram, on TikTok. Maybe we'll also get into TikToks again. I can force Amir into actually making like TikTok trend videos, potentially.
Subscribe, guys. Subscribe to the channel, please. Okay. Make it worth it.
Sure to follow our Instagram where we post little highlight clips of our episodes. And yeah.
We'll see y'all next week.
Bye. Bye.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US Soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.